Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let the lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help.
So a player who admitted to his gambling being out of control is suing the governing body who would rule him ineligible to keep playing. This is a product of the NCAA being toothless and everyone thinks they can get off. Like, if they had a better reputation and had, like, won these cases more often, particularly the Trinidad Chambliss one, I don't know that Sorsby even tries it. But it does help that that the presiding judge is in Lubbock, where the university he wants to play at is located. And there's a picture of said judge, Judge Philip Hayes, taking a picture with, what's the name of the Red Raiders mascot? I'm sure there's a name. Not the horse that runs on the field, or the Zorro looking human, real human being, but the plush mascot.
Raider Red.
Raider Red.
The Red Raiders mascot, Raider Red.
And he's got his guns up as well. Okay. Philip Hayes does. So he does have a friendly judge presiding over the case. Do we think this judge is more like the Tennessee judge who said, Joey Aguilar, get the F out of my face and my court, you're not winning this? Or is he more like the Ole Miss judge who was having Trinidad Chambliss sign things for him as the case was presiding or going on?
Okay, if we think about this, Trinidad Chambliss, Ole Miss judge, just watched this young man who only wants to play for the great university
turned
that is
down,
Ole Miss.
Turned down Lane Kiffin, that turncoat.
Turned down the turncoat, took him to the semifinal.
Semifinals. And not for a great Carson Beck's drive is in the championship game.
Right? And all those cheating thugs in Miami.
These are the words of the Ole Miss people or the judge?
I'm sure that.
Okay.
I'm assuming.
Okay.
And then on the other hand, you have Joey Aguilar. Pretty, meh to disappointing season in Tennessee. Get this out of my face.
Okay.
Get this case out of my face.
Embarrassing. You ruined my Saturdays. Get out of here.
I hate you, kid. And then, now we have Sorsby, who hasn't played for Texas Tech ever.
Not a down. Well, he did play in the spring.
Okay. Because
that's where the pictures of him in the uniform come from.
True.
He was there for the spring, but not an official down.
Yeah, so I don't know if that puts him closer to the Aguilar. Actually, I think we have the perfect spread of positive feelings with Trinidad,
mm-hmm.
Negative feelings with Aguilar. I think right now we're neutral with Sorsby.
I think they're more than neutral. They gave him a lot of money to be the guy who took an expensive roster to new heights.
Yeah,
they made a playoff last year, didn't win a game. I think considering they don't have much behind him outside of their backup from last year who's been hurt.
Yeah, he tore his ACL.
Yeah, I think this is a guy they have more than neutral opinions on. I think there's a reason
they have to have positive.
There's a reason he's suing. I think the Texas Tech people told him, hey, we think you can win this case. And you know why we think you can win this case? We're going to put you in front of a very friendly judge who has been seen doing guns up.
The honorable judge,
Philip Hayes.
Raider Red. Oh.
No, the mascot himself or itself won't actually be the presiding judge. Might as well be, considering how I think this is going to go.
That's what they should do. Just completely take, because anyone can wear the costume. So you can have the honorable
judge.
Well,
we've
judge,
seen that.
Philip Hayes.
We're right around graduation time. We've seen a lot of mascots show themselves, like
yeah.
The people behind the mascot head show themselves. Look, I'm this. Turns out it's a lot of actual like women who are in these mascot costumes. I don't really think about the gender of the person inside the costume, but I don't know, at least the ones that have gone viral. Hey,
yeah,
there's like a 23-year-old woman in the costume.
Movies and TVs make it seem like it's some, just some sweaty
giant nerd.
Sweaty nerd.
Yeah, and instead, it's not always the case.
Someone who looks like they could be on the cheer squad.
Yeah.
In the...
And they just chose a different way of going about supporting their university.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, you did bring up a good point that's like, while Brendan Sorsby is saying, I had to go to rehab because my gambling addiction is so bad, I also should be able to play.
Yeah. I did a thing that everyone knows you shouldn't do as a college athlete.
I made a horrific mistake.
I bet on my own team to feel closer to the team because I wasn't playing when he was at Indiana.
Yeah.
I made an awful mistake. And yes, the rules say I shouldn't do this. I've admitted to the awful mistake. I'm going through treatment to fix myself, I guess. But I actually still want to violate the rules and play, and I think I have a shot.
I don't want to miss a game.
No, I don't even want to get punished.
But I did make a horrible
mistake. I've admitted to, hey, isn't that enough? I admitted to my mistake.
Yeah, what, punishment because of that?
Yeah, what? So, if Philip Hayes, we gotta really think. Who is Philip Hayes? Is he a judge who may just look at the rules and go, hey, all right, man, this is kind of obvious? Or will he let his affinity for the Red Raiders lead? Sean is saying yes, the second one.
Yeah, that's. I am shocked every time that doesn't happen. I was shocked.
It does feel like something out of like the 80s. Like those. Like there's this.
It doesn't feel like you should be able to do it.
Yeah, there's a movie called like Johnny B. Good, I think. Anthony Michael Hall plays like this hotshot high school quarterback, and it just shows. It's pretty much, hey, you know how the Southwest Conference was looked at as this rogue league? Of course, everyone was doing it, but the Southwest Conference got highlighted for it. We're going to do all the things you think is happening here and put it on screen. Like, University of Texas was represented, but they weren't called the University of Texas. I think they're called, like, Big Tex or something.
Big Tex U.
And they brought Johnny B. Good to on a recruiting visit. And they took him to where the Cowboys play. And some woman decided, hey, I really want you to go to the school. So she tried to seduce him. You know where Terrell Owens had his moment?
Yeah.
Right in the middle of the star.
Yeah.
They had a bed set up right in the middle of the star for Johnny B. Good to have a great time. And you know what? At the end of the day, he didn't let all those harlots at all these schools convince him to play there. He decided to stick with good old local state school U and stick with this girl, stick with this buddy who wasn't going to get a scholarship unless...
Terrible movie.
He turned down Big Tex for the hometown. A South Florida kid would never. Never.
No, God.
A South Florida kid, just a five-star offensive tackle from South Florida, just chose A&M after Miami just put a five-star tackle in the first round.
Not interested.
You go, hey, I know you are known for your offensive line development. You know, Penei Sewell, Francis Malinoa, Markel Bell's another guy you just put in the top three rounds. You want to play at Miami? Nah, I want to go to Big Tex.
In this case,
Texas A&M. Good luck. Hey, A&M puts linemen in the draft. They put a lot of guys in the draft. They just don't score touchdowns at home.
That is
in big games.
That is an issue for them.
So, do I think Brendan Sorsby is going to play for Texas Tech? Yeah, I think he's going to play for Texas Tech.
This is like a real test of like, can the NCAA enforce this rule?
Can you? Like, he admitted to it.
This one feels pretty cut and dry.
He admitted to gambling.
Yes, and also like, there's like a report about Turkish basketball and Romanian soccer. Yeah,
he's an addict.
I know. Doesn't seem like you should play.
I'm just going through.
Addict's gonna addict. You know.
I'm just going through the cast of Johnny B. Good. Anthony Michael Hall played the quarterback. Robert Downey Jr. was his best friend.
Definitely not going deep.
Who's on his team?
Definitely not going deep.
And
he's a Landry.
And and his girl, his hometown girl, Uma Thurman.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
What a cast.
What a cast.
You know what? Maybe I won't go to Big Texas.
I mean, when Uma Thurman is waiting for you, young Uma Thurman. I don't know how tall Anthony Michael Hall is, but he's no, like, he was in the mold of Paul Walker's character in Varsity Blues.
Okay.
That type. Okay. Except this guy actually stayed on the field. Didn't tear his ACL because his coach was a racist and a guy who didn't care about his players.
Wasn't like Paul Walker's fault.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was.
You're hitting him with injury prone bust, Paul Walker.
I mean, it was back when ACLs weren't so easily repaired.
No,
like,
no, that
actually, he had to go be a coach. He couldn't be a player anymore. He couldn't go to Florida State.
That's you know, you can really mark the downfall of Bobby Bowden's time at FSU with that. They were always missing that one piece.
Yeah, that was right around the time when Chris Wierenski was matriculating. They were looking for their next guy. Instead of Paul Walker's character, they got Chris Ricks, and we saw how that played out. Never worked out.
Butterfly effect.
Yeah, if only Coach, what was his name? Bud Kilmer had not ruined his knee. Who knows how many titles Florida State would have won. All right, we'll go to a break. Good luck to Brennan Sorsby. I don't think you'll need it. You got a favorable judge. It looks like. Maybe that judge
is a big Will Hamm guy. Maybe he's like.
Or maybe we are wrongfully thinking that this judge will just side with the kid because he goes to Tech. Maybe he will look at the evidence, and the evidence will say he should play.
Yeah, maybe that happens.
Maybe the NCAA doesn't have a case.
Maybe there isn't deep corruption in the...
I don't want to put that on the Honorable Philip Hayes. I don't know.
Maybe there isn't corruption in at a government.
Sure, I just laid out one of the movies that shows the corruption in college sports. Sure, I brought that up. But maybe Philip Hayes, the Honorable Philip Hayes, is different.
Maybe where law enforcement and college sports meet, there isn't any corruption there.
See, this is... You're going down a slippery slope. I would hope that everyone gets a fair trial because that's what America's about.
I think Sorsby is going to get a very fair trial.
Some people may say more than fair. Look, man, I don't particularly care if Sorsby plays. I just think if you are a Big 12 opponent, you're like, wait a minute. What are we doing? How is this a thing? And why is someone so closely attached to Tech presiding over the case?
I think if I'm the NCAA, I'm like, you can't sue. Like, you just have to go to a different county than the one the school presides in, just to make it a little harder.
Nah, come on. It didn't matter for Trinidad Chambliss. It may not matter for Brennan Sorsby. Good luck to all those involved. Hopefully, the right outcome happens, whatever that might be. I'm just hoping for some entertainment. I didn't know who Philip Hayes was. Now I'll be paying attention. That decision may decide the Big 12.
I think if he's allowed to play, it decides the Big 12. If he isn't allowed to play, Texas Tech still might win, but it will be tougher. They'll have to sweat for it a little more.
Yeah. BYU might have something to say about it if Sorsby isn't allowed to play.
U of H might have something to say about it.
Yeah, they did win 10 games last year, and that Tech U of H game is one of the more contentious scheduling things that happened over the offseason because Tech didn't want to play on a Friday night. The Big 12 commissioner said, oh, you're playing on a Friday night, despite the protests of one Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech booster.
They should get Philip Hayes to preside over a lawsuit to move that game to Saturday.
I'm sure there are other Texas Tech-friendly judges in the area, too. It doesn't always have to be on Philip Hayes' plate. All right, we'll go to break with that. Pete Crow Armstrong has responded because his video of what he said to that fan went viral.
He responded to that fan, for sure.
He responded to that fan, and now that that video went viral that we talked about yesterday, now that video has gone viral, he's had to come out and address it. So we like to close up plot holes, and that was one from yesterday. What would happen? Now that everyone knows what he said to that fan who told him he sucked, well, now we know. We'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
So yesterday we talked about Pete Crow Armstrong, the Chicago Cubs young center fielder. He tried to make a play on a ball in like the right center field gap against the White Sox over the weekend. He didn't catch it, crashed into the wall, hit the ground, and while he was trying to recover and kind of get himself right, someone came over because at the White Sox ballpark, there's a fence, but it's like where people can actually watch the game, and it's, I don't know if you want to call it chain link. It's very similar to that, but they can see you. You can hear them if they're talking to you, and some woman comes over and goes, "You suck!" Pete Crow Armstrong, who was probably in the feels because he missed out on that play, said, "You can suck my mm-mm-mm." And you don't see that on the broadcast because why would you? Or you see his reaction somewhat because the ball's in play, the camera's moving away, but you don't hear it because it's the broadcast. But because we live in a world where everyone has a camera phone, that moment was captured, and you can hear clearly the woman telling him, the White Sox fan telling him he sucks, and him responding with, "You can suck this, blank, blank, blank." He has apologized. And you will learn from the experience. I regret my choice of words the most and who that affects in my life. Directly or indirectly, I don't think that any of the women in my life would think I would say those kind of words regularly. I'm just bummed out about the word choice and a bunch of little kids going to social media and seeing that as well. He goes on to say, "I saw the cameras in my face. It's not like I didn't. I'm definitely aware of the fact that it has blown up. I am intense on the field in a moment like that. I think I let it get away from me a little bit." And of course, they asked the manager, Craig Counsell says he made a mistake, so on and so forth. We'll try to be positive. We want to try and keep them positive, the interactions between players and fans, even when the fans are not. So, Sean, you scoffed when I said at least Bill O'Brien never told the fan to suck anything. He said you suck, which was...
Yeah, he merely just...
Responded, and he said you suck too. He was responding... Well, he did throw in the MF-er, but he didn't tell the fan to do anything.
Bunch of little kids watch that on social media, too.
Actually, the only reason that thing exists is because, obviously, it was caught. But I think it has been prolonged by, well, me, because I grabbed it and thought it was funny. And I've kept it around for like a decade now, almost.
It is very funny.
It's very funny. But Pete Crow Armstrong will always have that video of him telling that White Sox fan, who was a woman, to suck his bleep, you bleep. So he has apologized. He hopes to move on. He's very intense. I don't know if the women in his life were surprised by that. He's telling us that. So we'll take him at his word, and we'll move on.
I kind of wish he would have been like,
"Look, it's something I say regularly. I'm trying to stop. But you caught me in a weak moment."
Well, she was being a bleep.
And, hey, I just had a rough play. I don't know.
Her and her boyfriend.
Well, I don't know. But he has apologized for his words. Hopefully he can be better for it. And good luck to Pete Crow Armstrong and his future endeavors. I mean, wow, it was aggressive. It is just, I don't like, he says he's very intense. That's why he did it. I don't know if that's why you did it. I think you saw a woman and you thought, what's the most insulting thing I can say to her? And this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, would he have said it to a guy? I don't know. Maybe.
Guys do say that.
It's always very weird because those guys will say, "I'm the most heterosexual man you could ever meet, but I will tell this guy as an insult to do that to me." Okay. I'm glad Crow Armstrong has apologized. I don't know if he'll directly apologize to that fan, or maybe she'll just tell him he sucks again. So.
Yeah.
There's no need for it, but there it is.
I wonder how many times this happens and there's people
and no one catches
recording it. Yeah, because you have to be recording it before.
Yeah, you have to have your camera ready to go before it happens. And just whatever reason, you want to record an at-bat, and it just comes your way, and then you've got this moment where he's now got. Now, the question is, how many times has he said it and has not been caught? Like, if he's fiery, I imagine fans have given him the business.
Yeah.
And he's probably said things somewhat similar, and they just haven't been caught. So I don't know his proclivities, but I'm glad everyone can be held accountable for some dumb moment in the outfield because he missed a fly ball. and her ready to come over here and tell him he sucks. See, this is the problem when the White Sox are good. They're not even that good. They're just better than they have been.
Yeah.
If their White Sox are terrible, Pete Crow Armstrong never has to deal with this because there's no one out there.
Yeah.
Certainly not. Oh, maybe it's interleague play. Maybe White Sox fans show up.
I don't know. Cubs fan.
There were Cubs fans all around her. Yeah. That's why I thought initially it was a Cubs fan, but you look at her hat. It's a White Sox hat.
Yeah.
So, in fact, the only people you see are Cubs fans and then this one White Sox fan who came over to tell him he sucks.
That makes it even funnier. That's the one White Sox fan. He's like, yeah.
Hey, it happens. So, we don't have those problems, right? Our players don't say that to people. We have. When's the last time an Astros been caught up in something like that? Ever, really.
Well... With a fan?
Yeah.
Oh. I was going to say Yuli Gurriel.
Yeah, but that's, of the World Series. Yeah, that was a long time ago, Sean. Okay. And he didn't say that. He didn't say anything.
He didn't say any. Well,
we didn't hear it. We could read lips, I guess, but it wasn't to the level. Sure, he said it to a player on the other team, but not to a fan in the crowd.
And true. And it
wasn't a woman he said it to either.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't know, it's when he pulled it. If you don't know what we're referencing, Yuli, after what, hitting home run? Or at least he had a great at-bat. I forgot what he did. He pulled his eyes in reference to
Yu Darvish,
unfortunately. And then Yuli, because this is how just things go, he got suspended for the regular season.
Yeah, he got suspended in games.
He got to keep playing.
Starting after Game 7 in the World
Series. Yeah, for whatever reason.
You can't let rampant racism run around in MLB.
Yeah, but you won't allow it to affect your most important series either. You'll let him keep playing.
It's not that important.
Racism is bad, but not to the point where we'd actually punish him and it would hurt.
It's a 3-2 series.
I mean, look, the NFL, right, it takes everyone in their end zones. We all have our ways of dealing with racism. We're not going to suspend a major player in a World Series game. No, because that's how you combat racism. You don't make it hurt when they do something wrong. Look, at the time, no one on this side was looking for Yuli to get hurt. I just think it's funny that, hey, racism is bad, but not that bad because we got a World Series to get on.
I do remember thinking he was going to get suspended, and it never occurring to me that he could get suspended post-dated. Like, he could get suspended later. Like, I was just like, oh, my God, hopefully it's only one game, you know? Like, I was actually thinking he's going to get suspended for a World Series game.
No.
Nope. Oh, you can just do that. Oh, yeah, okay.
I think they would like you not to.
But.
And they'll punish you, and it's embarrassing because it's caught on camera. But
you can't do it.
But when you do it, we just understand
the World Series.
That the World Series takes precedent, and we're not going to punish your team for what you did. You'll just have to wait till the beginning of next regular season. It takes everyone, Sean.
It does take everyone.
Love us. Was that one of the other slogans?
I believe that was a NBA jersey.
Yeah, you could put it during the bubble,
phrase,
right?
Yeah.
Wasn't one of them. Who was the hipster who was talking about economics? Was
group
it
group economics? I think that was Andre Iguodala.
Andre Iguodala, yeah. Made a finals run that year, so I can't hate on him for that.
Listen,
with that 2020 Heat team, the bubble changed quite a bit since that moment, and we talked about it. Road teams in Game Sevens are now 11-9, and that's why the Cavs go to New York tonight. They continue the trend of road teams being much better in Game Sevens than history had suggested, and it's James Harden and the rest of the Cavs, because he's the story for us. James Harden and Jared Allen, who the lights aren't too bright for anymore. And Donovan Mitchell in New York to see a Knicks team who's pretty rested, who had been playing great basketball. So the JV version of the playoffs begin. I think the Knicks win this series.
The Knicks have been playing
really well.
Really well. I am a little worried about the come down effect of... For us, not the Knicks. I don't care. Well, they also did have like 4 days off or whatever. Yeah. Going every night from OKC, San Antonio,
the flip back and forth
to this. I'll just say it's going to be jarring.
Like, they're calling it. It was called the JV by Michael Wilbon on one of the morning shows on ESPN. Do you think it'll be that noticeable of a difference? Like, we understand the stakes because we just think that the Western Conference will decide the finals. Do you think the quality of basketball would be so much different?
So I think though, yes, I think the quality will be different. Just when you like add in the like, now imagine if they had to do this against Wembanyama, that element of it, or OKC, that element of it will like, you can't watch the game and thinking that. I think what would be best is the Knicks just like continuing to smoke every team. Since, what, game 3 of the Hawks series, they've just, like, absolutely just slaughtered just everyone. I think that would be best. It's just like, oh, the Knicks might, they might be a wagon. They might have something. They'll be rested after whoever comes out of this war in the West. I feel like that would be better than like seven close games of this, because when the Cavs play close games, it's like, well, Donovan Mitchell went 6 for 20 or James Harden went 2 for 11. Like, that, I'll say, won't work against the Western Conference. They're going to have to step that up. Whatever that is, you're not allowed to have those kind of off nights against Wimby or OKC.
I don't want the Knicks or Cavs to win a title, but for our enjoyment and whatever the finals matchup is, I want one of these teams to dominate the other and get it out of the way. If it can go 4 or 5 and one team wins, just have that happen. So whoever comes out of the West, particularly if the series goes long, at least is going up against the rest of the team who doesn't have injuries and may be able to give them their best shot. So I would prefer that the Cavs not win, but finish it in 4 or 5. Get the other team out of here. You sit down for, 4 or 5 days, however long the Western Conference Finals take, and give it your best shot. Because we have sat through some bad finals. We got a good one last year. Some of them stink.
Yeah.
Let's get a good one. Like the last two before that were like 5-game series. I think the Celtics and the Mavs and then the Heat and the Nuggets.
Yeah.
So if we can get one where the other team comes in fully rested and the Western Conference final winner has been through a war, I'll take it. So yeah. I'm rooting for short and sweet no matter who wins this series. But hopefully it's the Knicks. I think at least they're the better team and more equipped to play whoever comes out of the
Knicks
the West.
With like a 4 days extra rest would be way more intimidating.
Yeah, and who knows, if the other team's exhausted after 7 games, they may get game one, and then we might have something.
It is funny, though. I know this isn't what we're saying, but we both are kind of saying, we want to see as little as the Eastern Conference series as possible and the most of the...
Yeah, I mean,
but that's what we're hoping.
If I thought either team had a real shot, give me 7 for both series, and we have fun nights the next 2 weeks, but I don't think so, so give that other team the best opportunity, and I think a short series would help. Not enough, but it would help. Willie P, you want to talk some World Cup and TV? We'll do that when we come back. Anyone else want to follow him? 713-780-3776 is the number. We got a couple more segments before we wrap it up. We'll be back.
ESPN 97.5.
It's the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So we'll get to Willie P here. Then, Sean, I'm going to ask you a question about something that's going on in the Boston area and see if you would find this convenient. If it got transported here, would you take advantage of it? We'll do that, but let's talk to Willie P. What's up, Willie P?
Good morning. How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you?
Not bad. Not bad. I can't complain. I didn't actually watch the Western Conference Finals last night because I spent the last 3 days watching DTS St. Louis and Rooster, which, first of all, Rooster, loved it. Loved that show. It made me laugh a lot. Hopefully this is the second season. I don't know if you guys saw it, but, you know, Steve Carell, he was a genius in that one. I loved it. DTS St. Louis, it was a good show. I'm not going to lie. I jumped from who did it all the way until the very end. And the only thing I have a problem with, they showed a lot of,
male genitalia.
You know, yeah, man, a lot of pictures. And yeah, I'm just like, okay, we get the point. The last thing I want to talk about was the World Cup. It was cool seeing the reaction to Neymar getting called up, his reaction, and this is just the fans' reaction around the country. You know, this is the last World Cup, and he's had battled injuries the last few years and kind of fallen off. I hope that he goes out with a bang and he does something special. That's all I had. Great show as always, guys. Yeah, that's it. Take it easy. Have a good one. Sean A. Mace, what it do, baby?
Appreciate it. Yeah, I watched ETF St. Louis, and there is a lot of male nudity. It's the young in shape version of David Harbour, even though it's not David Harbour in the pictures when he was in, I guess, Playgirl. I forgot what the magazine was. So that's part of the ongoing storyline in that. I've watched like the first episode of Rooster. I found it okay. I might get back to it. I'm not sure on that. But it was kind of the HBO lineup after their prestige lineup after Night of the Seven Kingdoms. DTF St. Louis ended before Rooster. I might get back to it. As far as the World Cup, yeah, Neymar gets named to the team at 34 years old. Kind of faded into obscurity after his PSG stint ended. He went to Saudi Arabia, and then he wound up back in Brazil playing for Santos. And having one of the stars of the past decade back in the World Cup is pretty cool. We'll see how much time he gets for Brazil. So the U.S. will have their official announcement May 26th in some made-for-TV event. We're at that point. So, well, great. I don't know if the players will be informed beforehand, and then the announcements will be made that way, or will it be tournament, like NCAA tournament style, and the guys will see their name come across and go, oh, look at me, I made it. I imagine it'll go the first way as opposed to it being a surprise to everyone.
It being the decision?
Yeah, but it will be announced to us, hey, do you want to see if Christian Rodon makes the team? Be ready at whatever time on May 26th, I guess.
Yeah, this is a bridge too far for schedule release, like in the schedule release realm.
Yeah.
Of like, do we really need to watch a TV show about who? There's so many things like this where it's like the bracket reveal show for either college football or college basketball, where I'm like, the college basketball, they do kind of breeze through it because there's so many teams that there's not a ton of fat, but you do have to sit through commercial breaks basically every bracket. And then, you know, God forbid there's like an interview before they do the last bracket. You're like, Jesus.
Particularly if
like,
you're a team on the bubble, yeah, you got to sit through that.
I don't care what Tom Izzo has to say.
Yeah, but they dragged out.
Yeah.
They drag out the CFP bracket show when it's not
commercial
even.
Breaks.
The ranking show when it's not even the final one.
Yeah, that one's the worst. That one's the worst. Because at least, like, all these other things, there's, like, some finality. Like, this will be the schedule. This will be Team USA's roster. This is just, like, it's week 9, and we think that, you know, this team's
Let's have the Miami-Notre Dame debate again.
Yeah.
When things haven't really changed that much. And then we waited until the very end, and it did change. And that's why Notre Dame decided to quit on their season.
It was a big championship weekend for both Miami and Notre Dame. A lot of new data.
A lot of things happen. Hey, all it took was BYU getting their doors blown off by Tech for things to change. Well, they're right next to each other, so let's have the conversation now that we can't use BYU as a buffer. Look, I pray on Notre Dame's downfall. Unlike Wimby, who was actively participating in Chet's downfall, he doesn't pray on it. I don't have the ability to do anything to hurt Notre Dame.
Makes it happen.
So I pray on their downfall. Even I was like, this is stupid. Miami will have always beaten Notre Dame, and you could have just put Miami ahead of them, and then if BYU didn't lose, BYU goes and Miami doesn't. Instead, you play the game where we really would like Notre Dame in, but we can't play this game.
Yeah,
if BYU doesn't lose, and BYU did lose, and then they had to play the game, and then they decided to put Miami in, and you know, rewarded for their. For their faith or their change of mind, because Miami makes a title game and nearly wins that. But let's get back to what I was going to get to. Thanks to Willie P for the call. So they're doing something different in the Boston area. Framingham to Boston is about, or Framingham, however you pronounce it, Framingham, is about 32 minutes between them. And I bring it up because no one likes going to the airport, and they have tried to, particularly the major ones, and they tried to find a solution. They will put you through TSA at the small airport and then shuttle you to the big airport and you're already behind security. It's a $9 cost to go from one airport to the other, and it takes about 32 minutes. Now, transport yourself to Houston. At least my closest airport is Hobby. I rarely have problems there. Sometimes I have to go to Bush depending on where I'm going, but Hobby's my closest airport. Ellington Field is another airport but that's actually closer to me. And if I thought TSA was going to be a problem at Hobby, which with some of these government stoppages, it did become a problem for people, would I choose to get all that done at Ellington and then have them drive me, in this case, probably about 10 minutes to Hobby? Maybe.
Yeah.
For a $9 charge, I might consider it if I get all that stuff out of the way and I can just get on my plane at the airport of where I'm actually flying out of. Now, Sean, you have to think about it yourself. I don't know which airport's closest to you as far as the one you're flying out of.
I actually don't know either which one's close. They're both, like, pretty...
So there are smaller airports around the area, like Houston Southwest Airport, Pearland Regional Airport. I mentioned Ellington Airport. Would you do it? If I told you, hey, like, I don't know what your weight is going to be. You can certainly look it up. They have websites for it. Would you go to a smaller airport, get charged whatever the price would be, and then you're already behind security when they take you to the big airport that you're flying out of?
I just think in Houston, like, adding the traffic element to it, adding the, like, now we all get in a, like, the shuttle is where I'm.
So
I'm not sure if I think the shuttle is going to work correctly every single time.
Yeah. So this trip from Framingham to Logan Airport in Boston, about 30 to 45 minutes, of course, depending on traffic.
Yeah,
so,
like, that's...
They have a shuttle, and it takes a three-quarters of an hour, maybe, or half an hour, depending on when you're making the trip.
Maybe if it's a situation where you're flying, like, around the holidays, and you just know that TSA... Like, if you know that it's TSA is going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
But, like, for the most part, it's like, so I'm going to go to a different airport, go through security there, then get on a shuttle, and then 30-minute drive to the real airport. Never mind, like, well, what about the security line at the small airport? Like, that's also time that you are taking. And I'm sure there's some period where you have to sit on the bus and wait. I don't know. It has to be a situation where it's, like,
Where you're aware of long waits.
Aware of long waits, and you know, like, the, like, A to B. Like, I'm not driving, like, 30 minutes to go to a different airport so then they can drive me 20 minutes to a different one. Like, that one doesn't actually make sense. But for the most part, I would still go to Bush and just...
Deal with it,
yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting try. I wonder how many people would do it here.
Yeah.
There's some...
We could just make it TSA faster.
Yeah, there is, like, Houston spread out. It would be probably tough for you to even find the local airport and how much time would it take and all that thing. But they're trying it to try to lessen some of the burden on not only the travelers, but the people working at the Logan Airport. You know, Ellington is a kind of a straight shot from my home and then to Hobby. So if I thought Hobby was going to be a real problem,
yeah, that makes
during
sense.
Christmas, I think I would do it.
Yeah, but if you have to, like, you know, A to B to see it, then...
Yeah, I don't...
Because then on the...
They're both right up 45 for me.
I guess, yeah. And then if you arrive back, like, you, I guess you'll just get a ride or whatever.
Depending on how you made it to the first airport.
If you park at one airport.
It becomes a little cumbersome.
Yeah.
That's true. I appreciate ingenuity. I don't know how the people of Boston are taking it, but if they try to pull that here, pull like it's a trick. If they tried to do that here, and I thought it would work. I might take them up on it. It's only nine. If it's only $9, I don't know how much it would actually cost to get from Ellington to Hobby in that case. All right, I don't know. They don't have a shuttle, so I won't have to worry about it at this point. All right, we'll go to break with that. We got one more second to go, and then we will be back. Certainly still taking calls. 713-780-3776 is the number. Sean and I, till noon, we will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Sean, did we have the conversation on air about the media apparatus that surrounds the Thunder? Or was that off the air?
I forgot. I think it was on the air.
So if we didn't, apologies for starting it that way. And if we did, a reminder, the Thunder media is one of the more touchy media apparatuses today. Not just the people who work for the team, because we all know the teams have their own media outlet where they will produce content for people to enjoy on social media, for the website. That's a thing. Sometimes they grab people who cover the Thunder for independent publications in the area, and then they bring them on. Like Royce Young is one of the main ones I know. He used to work for ESPN and cover the Thunder. Now he works for the Thunder themselves, and you could tell by the level of his tweeting when that change happened. You might have considered him one of the more unbiased Thunder sources, and then when he started to work for the Thunder, there's no question what time he's on. It also just goes for the paper in the area. Did you see what the Oklahoman was up to?
No. The newspaper?
Yes. Now, I will preface this by saying this isn't about any political thing, at least not from this show. The Oklahoman made it political. They compared the Thunder to Israel. They compared them to the country of Israel, saying...
Yeah.
And you want to? Do you want to take
necessarily hot button? But okay.
Do you want to take any guess how they got there?
No, I don't.
Okay, I bet you don't.
I can't believe for a second I considered trying to guess.
You're like, huh? And then you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing? This is how they did it. This is from the tweet. The parallels between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Nation of Israel are difficult to ignore. Neither was supposed to become what it is. Like Thunder, Israel is an underdog that has become hated. As you might imagine, the story has been deleted from this opinion piece.
How did it start? What was the
beginning
of the headline?
Either maybe a Facebook tweet or a Facebook post or a tweet. Opinion. The parallels between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Nation of Israel are difficult to ignore.
Disagree. I never considered
them the same at any point. I never considered any parallels.
You know what?
You got to be working really hard to develop this theory. Like, I don't know if this person is a sports writer by trade.
This has to be a column, like the newspaper.
It came from Eitan Reshef, guest columnist. He's not even one of their full timers. A guest columnist. Who was writing for Oklahoman on Monday. He found a way to turn world events into an opinion about the OKC Thunder.
To me, it seems more like a columnist trying to make people, it about sports than a sports columnist trying to make it about Israel.
I think it is someone who is trying to get these people who are rabid about their team to care about something else. And he wanted them to care about Israel. And he used the Thunder as his way and his path to do that.
Underdogs?
The Thunder, I guess, were once underdogs. And if you know how the creation of Israel, I guess you can say that too. It's just not something anyone's looking for. And that's why it's gone. So this person made...
Like, you just can't read it anymore?
They deleted it. I don't know if someone screenshotted it. I'm sure they did if you go online, like on Twitter. You'll probably find some of the excerpts.
I'd love to know.
But the Oklahoman would like you not to find them. They don't want it to be out there anymore, but it's too late. It was up for at least 2 hours. So there it is.
Now, San Antonio.
Well, who do you want to compare San Antonio to? What was Wimby like?
There's an easy comp.
Nope. Not on this show, it's not. You properly avoided making a comp just a couple minutes ago. Let's continue that. Let's just point out what we're seeing out there and kind of laugh at how silly this seems to be.
Yes.
But let's not really have any commentary on what this story could actually have. We'll do it that way.
Yes. It was an unforced error by the Oklahoman, I'll say.
Yes.
No matter how much I want to, I will refrain from making an unforced error.
Yeah, you don't want a double fault here, Sean. You don't. It's not necessary. No one's looking for you to double fault.
But I didn't. This story does make me... I just can't imagine like opening up the Word doc and be like, I got one. Here we go. Crack the knuckles. They're going to love this one. Internet's going to go crazy for this one.
I don't know how I got past whoever is the person who decides what they publish. The editor, I don't know how I got past them. You knew it was going to be a problem, right?
Oh, yeah.
You had to know. Oh, yeah. But not this type of a problem.
Like in the headline... It is acknowledging that, like, people are going to be angry about this one. Where it's like they've become the villain.
Yeah. Good luck to the Oklahoman and Eitan Reshef.
Uh-huh.
and everyone, and T's and P's for everyone involved. We will
Oklahoma
move on.
City Thunder.
I don't know if the Spurs were called a particular country or military apparatus. I'm not sure.
Every country on the planet. T's and P's.
I want good things to happen for you. And well, mostly the people in your, the government's whatever, but the people in your countries, good things to happen for them. And we'll leave it at that. This wasn't even like the Thunder, like the Thunder media.
This is just,
it's just some dude in Oklahoma who decided to try to get one off. And he got it off for a couple hours until Oklahoma said, we're not here for that heat. We just want to talk Thunder basketball and the greatness of Oklahoma softball. Just leave us alone. All right. We're done.
Make or break year for Brent Venables.
That too. Yeah. Hey, could you have written something about John Mateer in the Thunder?
You know who Brent Venables reminds you?
Nope.
No.
Not here, buddy. We're not looking for it. We're done for the day, Sean. So what does that mean?
Nothing for you here.
That's how the editor explains it to their boss, how they let that thing get out for publication. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.